Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Big 4 o'clock hour, guys. 20 minutes from now, we're going to talk to our buddy Steve Weiss from NFL Network, get his take on what he's hearing around the league. A couple guys are sitting out the OTAs, trying to send a message to their respective teams that they want more money and a new deal. We'll get into that with Steve. Also coming up, how I found yesterday, much to the enjoyment of Carl, that baseball analytics fans are part of a cult. That's coming up in about 40 minutes in Guy Talk. Right now, though, it's time to talk some dogs.
The times are out there, guys, and I like it. Look, I look forward to Thanksgiving Day weekend and Black Friday. Why is it going to be Black Friday? But that's when the game is going to be. Georgia Tech, Georgia, going to renew their rivalry. 3:30 November 28th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's right. This year's game is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's going to be on ABC. So I'm cool with that. Look, I think a lot of these rivalry games, I told Mike, Texas A&M has moved to that Friday. Used to be Thursday night, and it was a big deal. They just started replaying each other last season because they're both now in the SEC. But I like this time. I know some people say, well, I like it at night. Again, if you don't have plans, it doesn't matter. But if you do for Thanksgiving, Mike, right, and you're like trying to maneuver on what you're going to do and where are we at Friday and how does this work and what time's the game on, I'm cool with this. Georgia, by the way, has won 7 consecutive games in the series. But last year's game, Mike, was bananas.
It really was. So again, Thanksgiving, hopefully you've had a good nap. You've already, tried to walk off some of that turkey. But again, that's the game. So that you got to deal with it whether you like it or not. They're kind of not moving off of that. Georgia, Tennessee, 3:30. That's September 13th. Way earlier than it used to be, right?
In old days. It is.
But that's a 3:30. Start on ABC. The season curtain raiser for Georgia. It's, again, after the beasts of last year, it's a little bit easier. Austin Peay, that's 3:30 on SEC Network. Then we also found out Alabama and Florida State, the curtain raiser for that Saturday afternoon game. That's going to be College Game Day with Lee Corso's final appearance. That's going to be 3:30, not a night game. A little surprised about that, but 3:30 for the Tide and Florida State. I know that a lot of folks are curious to see, if and when, and people were asking for it. Certainly Ohio State was lobbying. Texas was like, hey, what's going on here? That noon game we talked about earlier with Texas and Ohio State, that makes no sense to me.
No, you talk about kicking off college football, very similar to what the Dogs did last year with Clemson. You want those games in prime time. And, they can't put them all in prime time, but that just makes sense with the fanfare and, the Big Ten, Ohio State coming off the championship. Both teams are in the playoff. I thought it'd be a night game. By the way, the Jackets are going to host Clemson. Speaking of the Clemson Tigers, the defending ACC champion, September 13th at Bobby Dodd. So that is going to be a noon kickoff, and it's either going to be on ESPN or ABC. That's a big game for the Jackets.
But that's another one, again, if Tech is starting to win and the brand continues, I like that idea of having them, have a night game with the city. And the lights shining bright. Sure. It looks so cool. It's so dramatic. Speaking of Clemson, that's the same weekend as Alabama, Florida State. That's a 7:30 start at Death Valley, LSU and Clemson. So that'll be interesting because, as we've said, Brian Kelly is yet to win a season starter since he's moved out of Baton Rouge.
Yeah, this is I don't want to say a make or break season for him, but it kind of feels that way. Kind of feels like, okay, your teams have been talented. You're putting all these guys in the NFL, which LSU's continued to do. But the wins are not where they need to be. And I almost feel like, Mike, if you would have asked me what SEC team needs to make the playoffs, it's not Georgia, not Alabama. It's not what we expect. I would tell you LSU needs to find a way to get into this playoff.
And again, I think earlier this month I was talking about I had them in Death Valley in Louisiana, but it's Death Valley in Clemson, so South Carolina home game.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. I mean, we heard Brian Kelly at the annual meeting, spring meetings, talk about wanting to play the Big Ten and all that. Handle your SEC schedule first,
right?
Before we start trying to add games on and all that. Either way, that was part of the big meetings that happened this week. And look, let's talk about Greg Sankey for a minute. You talk about not wanting to be the bad guy, but you have to be, because everybody is looking at Greg Sankey and saying, what do you want to do? What's your conference want to do? And he's the mouthpiece for all these ADs and presidents, Mike, and even the coaches who come to him and said, this is what we want to do. And so Sankey's the guy that's putting it out there. Listen, if you don't think all these coaches feel the same way that he does, he's just the messenger. But because of it, and he's the face, he's becoming the bad guy. And again, if you disagree with how they feel, whether you're on the Big Ten SEC train or not, Mike, there are a lot of schools, and I said this, there are 136 FBS schools that are like, this does not benefit us if we start to change things the way that the SEC and the Big Ten want to. So I just find it interesting that that people this week, after his comments and what happened down there in Florida, are like, yeah, I don't know, Sankey, man, he's a bad dude.
Yeah, I mean, when you are the team, and you know, when you represent the teams that generally win the most, now we're going to last two, it's a Big Ten getting the championship, but I'll tell you, I've gotten frustrated with, you know, some of the stuff that we've debated with some of the audience. You know, most of the time it's ACC fans. Well, the SEC's rep, you know, and what the ACC has created, that's why they're from this position of power. They've been able to build a conference that's got the elites, has got the A-listers, right, the ones that are there. That's why it was such an accomplishment for Clemson to get up there and go toe-to-toe and be able to beat Alabama twice and Dabo Swinney in that mix all the time. But Clemson's the bell cow for the ACC. The rest of the ACC hasn't delivered. You know, you've got the big programs. Now, look, now it's time for Texas to step up and grab the brass ring. You know, I mean, let's be honest. It's go time for Sark. But you look at the top to bottom, the games you want to watch, you know, the wow factor. Even if, let's be honest, it was a down year for Oklahoma. Still a big game when Auburn plays Oklahoma or something like that.
No, it totally is.
So that's where we get into, are you going to, if it was your conference, would you want them to, quote, take one for the team being the betterment of all college football? I mean, some of us would say, hell yeah.
Yeah.
We want our old college football back, but I just think that's, you know, you're living in the past, man. That's never coming back.
It's going to be hard to get back. Listen, the Pandora's box has already been opened.
Right.
You're not going
to close. I mean, isn't the only way to get this thing going is to go forward, which is to that super conference we've talked about for so many years?
Well, look, I don't
and
even...
you cut the dead weight?
I don't even know if that is the answer, just to say, again, if you're going to do that, remember, there'll be the haves and have-nots. The schools that have had football programs for years may not have them because they just financially cannot handle the financials of it. Either way, it's going to be interesting. And by the way, I want to mention Georgia did land a four-star wide receiver, Ryan Mosley. He played at Carrollton, played with Juju on that beat, who's at Colorado. And Mike, it's funny to me because I'm looking at this wide receiver room and it's almost like Kirby went, we ain't having that again. I'm going to go get some guys and we're going to go into this portal and we're going to... And you look at the talent, all right? I'm not saying that it hasn't been talented, but they didn't make enough plays last year. There were way too many drops. You lead the country in drops. So I feel like they are loading up for Gunnar Stockton to say, even if he's not dynamic, which we don't know yet, he's going to have some guys that can catch the ball and make plays after the catch. Yak! Give me some yak.
We talked with Mike Griffith yesterday, and, you know, and he covers the Dogs, covers Dog Nation. I'm more concerned about the offensive line. To me, it's like whatever Gunnar Stockton's going to do, and if you didn't think it was impressive what happened against Notre Dame, and it wasn't because they were flat and they couldn't get anything going. Think of how Notre Dame was living in Georgia's backfield.
Even
when Bobo was wisely trying to run the ball and establish physicality, they couldn't do that. So if you can't do that again with a new crop of offensive linemen, that's why I'm saying, I mean, before you get to Gunnar Stockton, what about the dude that's supposed to be protecting him and establishing the run?
So is he, and listen, Georgia fans will tell me because I've had this conversation, he will be good enough to escape pressure. He will, you know, be a guy that can make plays on the run. Okay, I got to see all of that. But at the end of the day, Mike, I don't know. I mean, like, look, they put four guys in the NFL, but it feels like they're doing that every year with this Georgia offensive line. 404-726-0929. Talking about some college football stuff, guys, as we get some times with some games. More and more will be dropping, but this is, you know, college football is teasing us. We are less than 100 days away from the start of college football. We talked about that earlier this week, and that is the beauty of this. Like, we are literally in that countdown mode.
You know, you and I were debating all offseason about Georgia and the quarterback situation, and you look and say, you know, again, all this hype. Let me throw this one at Carl not went to Texas. I don't tell anybody, but Arch Manning, he can handle all this, right?
Oh, of course.
I mean, just because,
I'm not saying that because he's,
I mean, it's Cooper's son, it's Eli, yes, and our, right, and our, you know, and
you,
we know
you hear
Peyton are your uncles,
but you hear Deion say this about Shador. He's been built for this,
right?
Arch has been built for this.
So I mean, why I don't the hell didn't Sarkisian throw him in there? I'll just never understand that blind allegiance to Quinn Ewers when the ceiling, I got my arm right above the table here. I just felt the ceiling, you knew what you had with Ewers, and I just felt like Arch Manning would have been so much more dynamic, especially in that Ohio State game, certainly. You know, you could have argued, yeah, against Georgia, too.
Look, I'm just telling you what I've heard, and it's really close to the vest there. Look, everybody thinks Arch is going to ball out this year, and I do agree with that, and then he's going to leave. He's not. He's going to be there. And it has nothing to do with money. He wants to enjoy this experience of being the BMOC at the University of Texas and enjoying his time in the SEC. This is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Mike, once you go to the NFL, guess who can tell him firsthand? His uncles. It's different. And I want you to enjoy this. And his grandfather's told him that. And his uncles have told him he's going to be there. So my point is, I'm not worried about him handling it. It is more for me about Sark. If you consider him to be one of the best coaches in this conference, look, it's Kirby and everybody else. We've said this. And when Georgia plays Texas this year in Athens, they still have to prove that they can go and deal in a game like this. They haven't yet done that. They got beat twice by Georgia, Mike, got beat by Ohio State. These are the games Sark's getting paid for. It's not beating the TCUs of the world.
So, moving forward, Georgia in this season, I mean, I gotta be honest with you. We all loved 21-22 was like one for the ages, Georgia fans. Some guys felt they'd never see it in their lifetime, Carl. The expectations now, because of the landscape, do you feel we're going to see another Natty in the next 3 years for Kirby? Because it was anointed Kirby the greatest coach of this generation.
To answer that,
now that Saban's retired.
To answer that question, I got to see what he does at quarterback. This is why I brought this up weeks ago. You cannot continue to have all these great players in all these other positions and not have a dynamic difference maker at quarterback and tell me that they're going to be okay.
Right.
Now, I know they got the number one quarterback coming in next year, allegedly. We'll see. I mean, again, he's committed, and I know all the stuff we talked about, Mike.
But as you and I said yesterday, if Jared Curtis is here next year, okay at this time. But things are so fluid.
It is.
In college football. So, I mean, look, Jared Curtis, if he's going to be the next Matthew Stafford or whatever you think you're looking for. But Gunnar Stockton is not that five-star superstar.
No.
That's the thing.
No. And to say that Kirby and the Dogs won't be in the mix, I'd be an idiot to say that they won't be. He's built a juggernaut. They're going to be good. It's how good. And how sustainable are you when you don't feel like you've got that difference maker at quarterback? Which right now, that's the big question. We've thrown it around. Hell, Paul Feinbaum is telling Kirby on the set, like, I don't think he's that guy.
Well, I'm keeping receipts, Paul. You'll see our quarterback's elite.
I don't think he's that guy. So it's a really great question, but I would tell you, look, Georgia's going to be a top five program over the next X amount of years. I don't think there'll be a fall off. How many chips they win is going to be determined by two things. One, can you build a defense like you had in 21, 22?
Right.
If you can't because of depth, not that they can't, but because of depth, then you've got to have a dynamic quarterback who can do all these different things because college football has become the NFL. That's the deal.
Right. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell, guys, who's talking about the Dogs. And while we were starting the dog conversation, the Braves game wrapped up game one of a spread-out doubleheader, not an actual doubleheader in Philly to make up for yesterday's rainout. Strange lineup, Carl, to start this game. The Braves did battle back and claw and certainly were in a position to win this game. And then, again, at the end of the night, a lack of clutch hitting and the bullpen let you down.
Yeah, a couple of injuries, too. A.J. Smith-Shawver leaves this game. Fairchild leaves this game, which, you know, again.
We never knew why he was starting in the first place. Ronald came in and gave a spark.
Ronald came in. But the bottom line is, for me, this played out very similar to how we've seen many games this season. You know, this game is tied at four apiece going into, what, the late?
Bottom of the eighth.
Well, yeah, actually, because we scored two in the eighth, and then they came back and scored one in the bottom, and then that put them up 5-4. Bullpen. And it's funny because it was tied 4-4, and we just kind of looked up, and I said, okay, well, can the bullpen hold, and maybe we get another shot at this. But even then, at the end of this game, we had, you know, a chance to win with a runner on.
Hernandez came in. I mean, we've talked about, you know, this bullpen. It's early in the season, it was strong. Lately, it's given us Ajit. That's not even before we get to Iglesias. One of the stories, you'll see it, guys, when you get home, if you're in your car right now, was an unbelievable catch by Michael Money Harris to basically rob a three-run homer. I mean, this was clearly a ball that was the trajectory was going over the fence.
Well, Mike, it changes the game. I mean, that early in the game, that would have given Philly all the momentum. And correction, We had more than one runner on. Bases were loaded finish this game. Yeah. Well, we didn't say that.
White struck out looking.
Correct. So I want to
on a pitch, by the way, that was low in the zone. That's why I just tweeted out at Mike Bell ATL. Carl's put him up. See Dukes. Time for robot umps. This game was over on a pitch that was out of the strike zone, clearly.
Either way, so we had a chance there at the end. I thought it was one on because here, doing a show, I didn't see the bases loaded until just now, and my man mentioned it to me. Dom mentioned
it. It's one of those like situations where you had a check swing that the ump probably should have punched him out on, and it was almost like a makeup call. That's why all these people are like, I just love the human element. Get out of here with that. You're going to put an earpiece in these guys' ears, and they can signal strike or ball. It's not that complicated. I've been killing Murphy, and I've been killing Austin Riley. Murphy had a home run today. Riley had a couple of hits. Actually, he moved Monty Harris over to third and actually was contributing in the bottom and the top of the eighth, I should say, and unfortunately the top of the ninth, and then just not enough as Eli White strikes out.
Monty Harris did have a big hit, though, to put us back in this game, which is something he's been struggling to get. So that is the good news. All right, man, coming up, Steve Weiss is going to join us. We'll talk to him, NFL Network, next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk to the senior national reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, friend of the show. Covered our Atlanta Falcons years ago and knows everybody around the league. Steve, thanks so much for joining us, as always. Mike and I are still trying to figure out where this Aaron Rodgers thing is going to go. And I said to Mike earlier, I said, do you think Steve knows anything? Do you know anything new? This is just kind of a wait and see, and he's you know, dropping clues and hints, but he's not doing anything.
Yeah, I don't know anything new. I think it is an assumption just based on the Steelers not doing anything and Rodgers not saying anything that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. But look, it's not done until it's done. So I think there's still that little bit of it's Aaron Rodgers. He's a wild card. But again, I think there's a feeling around the league, and especially around folks close to the situation, who think he's going to end up there.
Because, as you know, Steve, our only lifeline to get Cousins off the roster and make anything back on it, albeit maybe $5 million, would be if Pittsburgh couldn't consummate a deal with Aaron Rodgers. You still think there's any shot of Minnesota for Rodgers, or is that done?
I don't think the Minnesota thing is going to happen. I got to excuse you for just a second for this background noise. I don't think anything with Minnesota is going to happen, but I do think that should this Rodgers thing fall through, that the Steelers and Cousins, you'll hear some conversations there. It's interesting, and I know we've spoken about it on the show, how it seemed like there would be a trade market for Cousins. That clearly has kind of slowed for now, but I still think something will play out in that regard at some point. There'll be an injury or something that'll happen that'll eventually move that situation forward.
Steve Weiss, our guest, senior national reporter for NFL Network. All right, so we were talking about this earlier, Steve, as well. The Browns, apparently, OTAs, everybody's in OTAs. They're putting out stats for their quarterbacks to let their fans know how Flacco and Shedeur Sanders, et cetera, are doing. What do you make of this situation? How do you see it playing out? Flacco's the starter until when?
Well, first off, the Browns didn't put that out. A local radio station put that part out.
Okay, okay.
So, but still, it's ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, the thing is, it is what it is. It's ridiculous. But I think car wash, too. So if it sounds like I'm in a tornado, that's what's going on. I'm giving you guys life in real time. I'm on my way to work, but my car is a disaster, so I've got to get cleaned up.
Right.
But look, I think if they do it right, it's a fair competition. Look, Joe Flacco is familiar with the coaching staff. He saved their season and got them to the playoffs a couple years ago, and they frankly should have signed him last year. He was too popular, and they didn't want to create some type of odd dynamic in that room with Deshaun Watson still on the roster. So, you know, look, I think he goes in as the favorite. We'll see how Kenny Pickett does, and we'll see how the two rookies do. It really is going to be intriguing to me the amount of reps that these young quarterbacks get. And you would think Dillon Gabriel, being a third-round draft pick, will get the majority of the reps between those two. So it's going to have to be up to Shador to really stay after practice reps and do some to the quarterback coach to get himself ready if he's not getting the necessary reps to show what he can do.
It's our man Steve Weiss. He loves L.A., Carl. Santa Monica Boulevard. Steve loves it. He's with us
right,
on the WaitForIt.com hotline.
Right now I'm on Crenshaw Boulevard. So.
All right.
Steve, what do you make of T.J. Watt? There's a couple guys doing the holdout thing. Now with the CBA, you lose that money. So where's this going to go with the Steelers and him?
Well, he loses that money if he doesn't do it, if he misses out on anything mandatory. But so what the guys are doing now are the hold-in type of things. They're showing up. So that he technically did a report. I think they'll eventually get something done with him. We'll see where it goes because he's seen where the numbers are. And I think that's why there's kind of a waiting game with Micah Parsons, with him, you know, to see who's got the money. Of course, T.J. Watt, does he want a longer-term deal, a shorter-term deal? We'll see. I think, again, they eventually get that done. He is part of the fabric of that organization, of that city. And the one thing the Steelers do, we've seen it with Cam Hayward and guys like that, is they take care of the guys who really identify with the city and with that organization. So I think that gets done before the season starts.
Steve, the NFL lost Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts. The succession plan, we always talk about this when situations play out. Do you know if his daughters are going to take over? Has anything been said about how this may look for the Colts moving forward?
Yeah, his daughters will take over, and the oldest daughter, Caitlin, who has represented the Colts multiple times at these owners' meetings and other league functions, she represented the club when he was suspended a couple of years ago. She will be the lead person, but the daughters will absolutely take over the organization. They've been very involved for almost two decades, to be honest. They got partnership stakes. I think in 06, somewhere before 2010. So, yeah, that's been well set in motion. And, again, his eldest daughter has been involved in a lot of these league meetings, club meetings, so she understands the process. And you see that a lot with a lot of these organizations. Arthur Blank's son has been involved, you know, in a lot of these similar types of situations as well. So this is nothing new, but it will be his daughter's.
Gotcha. They honored him at the Indy 500, by the way, Carl. Jim Irsay, when I was up there. Steve Weiss is with us, guys, talking NFLs. We're going around the league. We play the Dolphins this year here in Atlanta. Tariq Hill says he doesn't believe he deserves to be a team captain. Okay, there's some humility. Is that team ever going to win a playoff game as it's presently constructed?
Wow, that's an interesting question because – you know, a couple years ago, you know, Mike McDaniels comes down there. He's got all this panache, all this pizzazz, and everybody loves it. And now it seems to kind of run its course. But I do think, you know, they've got some coaching staff stability down there in terms of, you know, Anthony Weaver's coming back for his second year as defensive coordinator. He's well-regarded. You know, they've been really just decimated by injuries. I mean, look at the pass rushers. Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips and everyone they bring in there to edge gets hurt. They have injuries at all these key positions. So it's hard to tell. You know, I think if they stay injury free, they're a playoff team. But whether it's Tua, whether it's Tyreek, whether it's Jalen Waddle, last year their whole offensive line, Teron Arms, like wiped out. So it's just such an intriguing notion with them. I mean, it looks like they're going to trade Jalen Ramsey, but there's still a lot of talent on that team. But you have to also say to yourself, man, the Patriots getting Vrabel, some of the moves they made, they're going to be a much tougher out than they've been. And frankly, in that division, if you look at the talent on the Jets, the talent is there. The talent is there for them to be a playoff team at almost every level, every position. So the Miami's just an intriguing unknown, let's say, heading into the season.
Senior national reporter Steve Weiss here with us on Dukes and Bell. Steve, what about the buzz around Michael Penix? You've been around the league. People talking, I mean, it's real, yep. Right? It's real.
Yep. No. People understand. You know, they see the arm talent, right? They see the ability. Now it's just a matter of executing. You know, can he handle a heavy load if he's got to come back because the defense is poor like it was last year? How will he be if he's playing with a lead when they could run the football? But trust me, people are like, yeah, this dude, we want to see what happens in game situations. But we saw it in college where he played in a ton of big games, right, and he won them. So can it translate? I think people are very eager to see. I mean, the book hasn't been written, but they're eager to see, like, does the arm talent, everything we saw in the few games last year and at the University of Washington and at Indiana, will it translate? And right now, I don't think anybody's looking at it with a lot of question marks.
We were talking earlier, Steve Weiss from NFL Network joins us, guys, a Prey car wash, that we were going to see Caleb Williams really take a leap this year because they finally got the right guy. Ben Johnson's got that thing built right. They've made the good additions. And then that comment comes out in the Wickersham book that his dad was kind of like, meh, and the whole team was meh about going to Chicago. Is this guy going to take the leap and be the guy we always thought he was going to be?
He's incredibly talented. I think he's a very humble young man. They went out and they got the pieces in the offensive line to protect him. That offensive line was horrible last year. His whole circumstance was horrible, right? This was like when Trevor Lawrence went to Jacksonville with Urban Meyer. Like, it's almost like last year you have to count as a redshirt year. So we'll see. There are players around him. I was with Ryan Poles, about 2 weeks ago, their GM. If you're real confident about this offensive line, now, once again, it's a matter of going out and executing. But Ben Johnson, an incredible offensive mind, but now he's the head man. And when you become the head man, you do less coaching and more managing. So we'll see how all that works with him, too, because he's going to have a learning curve. But I do think that Caleb Williams has a better shot to succeed, and the Bears have a better opportunity to be better, even though top to bottom, that could be the most challenging division in the NFL.
Steve, who's going to make a move, if they will, for Trey Hendrickson? Apparently he's dug in. Right. The Bengals are dug in. I don't think they're going to pay him. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody else will right now unless there's an injury. He's a hell of a player, man. Mm. I mean, it's crazy. When we talk about great defensive players, ever since his last year in New Orleans, he has delivered with such consistency.
Yep.
And he's like such a humble dude. But, you know, you see the team's point of view. Yeah, you got 17 and a half sacks last year, and what, we won 4 or 5 games, scoring 40 points a game. But at the same time, if he goes somewhere, he's the type of piece that could put somebody over the top. I mean, think the Falcons, he couldn't help them.
Mm.
So I don't think anyone's going to make a move for him right now. But if it does get ugly, maybe someone steps up. The thing is, this is like the wrong organization.
Yes.
Because remember, Carson Palmer went, he said, you know what, I'm just going to retire.
They're so cheap.
And then he went through similar situations and said, I'm just going to retire. And he did. They fortunately had drafted Andy Dalton. But it just turns out the Raiders had a season-ending injury to Jason Campbell. Former Bengals assistant Hugh Jackson was their coach, and he gave up the farm to get Carson Palmer. So they eventually moved him halfway through the season. But this could be an ugly stare down because we know the Bengals. They have a history of staring down their players like this. So, again, another intriguing storyline as we go into camp because that Bengals team, we know offensively, they've got enough to win it all. But defensively, they've got enough to win 6 games.
Right on. Remember, Carl, they used to charge guys for their TVs at their camps?
Yeah.
You know, hey man, I hope your whip looks good, Steve.
Hey, it's clean now. I'm driving down Crenshaw looking good.
Hi.
Hey, man.
Headed into the studio with a smile on my face, bro.
Well, we'll be watching, man. As always, we appreciate you, brother. Senior national reporter Steve Weiss, friend of the show. Thanks so much, Steve.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man. Always. Yeah, it's unfortunate for Hendrickson because this is the time where you would think, hey, I produced. I'm going to get paid. Steve's right. Like that. And here's the other thing. They just made Chase the highest paid guy. They already taken care of Burrow. And Burrow's like, look, we can redo my deal or at least, you know, push some money forward if it's going to mean keeping some of these guys that we need to win.
They just, to me, they're the same argument against the Dolphins. You know, all that money. And now, granted, Dolphins defense wasn't bad last year, but all that money's on one side of the ball.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell coming up. Falcon Report will tell you the latest on the Braves who lost to the Phillies today, game one of two. But, Mike, what's coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, yesterday I kind of kicked a nerd's hornet's nest up with a viral video that's gone viral. I mean, we're talking gazillions of hits on this. Analytics, Carl, is a cult, and I'll explain when we come back. Also on the way, Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence are now in-laws?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where to play is play. Tomorrow, guys, join the party. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, right there off Barrett Parkway. Only thing missing is you. Ice cold beer. Women in lumberjack outfits that want to meet you. And I want to extend an olive branch to all the nerds out there.
Nerds!
To come on up and join us, and we'll break bread, maybe even do a drink or two, and we'll put this whole analytics nonsense and exit velocity argument behind us. It's funny because it all started, give you some background if you missed yesterday's show. Before we got to Guy Talk, I was in studio with Carl, and I just did like one of those quick like 25-second hits videos where I basically said, I swear to God, if I hear someone mention exit velocity one more time, I'm going to kill them. And then it's like a cult, the people who put so much stock and weight into this. Yes, because, well, it's proven, Mike, if you hit the ball harder, you have a better success rate. And I said, okay, but what if you're not hitting at all? What if you, you know, as Chipper Jones, and if you don't believe me, the friggin' radio host, how about a guy that's in the Hall of Fame, okay, who says, you know, sometimes when things aren't going well, i.e. the Braves right now, maybe you shortened your swing, Carl. You take the pitch. You go in, when we were back in the old days, for those who played high school baseball, go with the pitch. You know, because believe me, Carl, I was a steroided Deadpool hitter, and Coach Poveromo would tell me, just go with the pitch. Don't try to muscle everything. But it's like these guys, it's like a cult. And one guy hit me up. I'll give you some of the things I got today. Well, why do you think they put the stats on ESPN? Because the freaking nerds work for ESPN.
Nerd.
Yeah, the same dorks who put so much stock into this. And I said, one guy, give me a metric for clutch.
Dorks.
Yeah, losers. You're not seeing the forest for the trees. Analytics has a place in sports. No one denies that. But to make it the be-all, end-all, to me, Carl.
Losers!
It's the same dorks that are killing NBA regular season.
Dorks!
With guys taking 63-point shots. So the game is literally run down the floor, jack a three, clang, run down the other side, clang. That's horrible. These people, and now they're trying to worm their way into football, where it has no place. None.
You know, really, for me, man, stats are for losers, man.
Thank
losers.
You. So anyway, I went round and round, and apparently I got national traction on this. I got 228,000 views of this rant you and I did, you know? And now I've got guys coming up. One guy like, well, it's proven. I don't know why another sports radio host doesn't understand, and he's a Dodger fan. And I said, oh, a Dodger fan. Like Dave Roberts, whose front office jams analytics down his throat, and you've blown more big games than you won in the postseason until last year. So shut up, nerd.
Nerd!
Yeah, and that's all I got to say
losers.
Thank you. That's all I got to say about that. Real quick, by the way, we will talk to Grant McCauley next hour.
I feel like one of the Pips back here. I'm just singing backup.
I like you being like my hype man.
Yeah, I'm just in the backup.
Go outside, nerd.
No, it's just these guys, they don't see the forest for the trees. I mean, I understand. Some of these knuckleheads, Carl, guy was telling me about Matt Olson, based on the numbers they're throwing out there, is a better hitter than Tony Gwynn was.
No, he's not.
I mean, basically, because exit velocity and OPS is all that matters.
No, he's not.
And I said to one guy, I go, so by your rationale, when you were a baseball fan in the 70s, you'd rather had Dave Kingman than Rod Carew.
No, you would not have.
I mean, so clear out your headgear. And I'm sorry if you got a competition trophy and you want to rant and rave about, oh, we lost today, but we had 205-mile-an-hour exit velos.
Nerd!
Loser mentality. Straighten out your headgear. Thank you. So you already knew that Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence were going to be in-laws.
Yeah, I had heard this story. So Eddie did, first time in a long time, maybe a year ago, maybe it was a little bit longer than that. He did like this exclusive interview remember he did the Beverly Hills Cop, the newest movie that was on Netflix. So he hadn't done anything because, as he says, everybody says, where you been? He says, I've been at the bank. And Eddie doesn't have to do a whole lot. But he did this long form interview and was asked about it. And I think I was driving. We were driving somewhere. Right. And I had it on. And he mentioned, obviously, him and Martin are great friends. But he said, we became even closer because of our kids.
Yeah, doing this, I guess, a Jennifer Hudson's TV show. Mentioned that they were going round and round about the wedding with Eric Murphy, Eddie's son, and Jasmine Lawrence, Martin's daughter. And eventually they said, you know what, moms, dads, we're going to take it easy. We're just going to go elope and do our own thing. Have a little private, simple ceremony.
Crazy.
Which is great. So they're now in-laws. So two of the funniest guys in the world are now like in-laws. It's like it's kind of his own movie, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, like you would say, you know, their kids are going to marry.
Just need like Cedric the Entertainer to be the priest. which I thought was kind of cool. I don't know about you on this one. Just want to get your take. Did you ever buy, we're not real conspiracy nuts here. Some things maybe, sometimes no. But the Jeffrey Epstein thing is kind of interesting.
Okay.
FBI says they're going to get the details out, but they're saying, you buy that this guy really killed himself when he was in jail in New York City?
How can I put this? No.
Me neither. I mean, and the way you got to do it when you can still basically reach the floor from how you're doing this on a very low bunk, I think most of our audience has already seen the story and you know what we're talking about. But I saw this today and I was like, really? Having a hard time wrapping my head around that one.
Well, remember, Mike, part of this, too, was, and I know it's been a few years and, you know, we forget all this stuff, but, like, he was on 24/7 watch.
Right.
And that particular night, he wasn't. Like, and by the way,
no camera.
No cameras.
Right.
So, guys, I tell you this all the time. There's cameras everywhere. And the irony of that and the high-profile case that this was, I'm having a hard time buying that. I mean, yeah, a little bit of a movie conspiracy theory there because, you know, it's something you see on television or whatever. But that's no cameras and nobody was watching?
He said the FBI director, Dan Bonino, says the Bureau plans to release a new video to prove that Epstein killed himself in federal custody. By now, many of you guys have seen all the I've seen every documentary.
AI generated.
Thank you. A thing.
I'm just saying.
Remember, what was the Tom Cruise movie? Where they doctored the video. Oh man, there's a million. There was a Snake Eyes movie with Nicolas Cage. That was a Brian De Palma movie. Minority Report.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So now we live in this world where you can create anything you want. Anyone saying anything that would make him look like an idiot or she.
Yeah. No,
or ruin their career potentially.
Correct. Yeah. These deep fakes and all this stuff, Mike. It's going to be harder as we move forward to determine. Especially when it comes to stuff like this, if in fact the footage is legit, and how do you create a sense of trust with the public when something like this, you're going to release something like this? I'm just saying, guys, you're getting phone calls right now. You don't know if it's a man, woman. You don't know if they're here or not. Like, seriously, all this stuff now.
This guy had dirt on some of the richest, most important people, world leaders, presidents that were in his company. So anyway, just I saw that. I kind of went, really? Hey, man, from Epstein.
I'm talking about those telemarketing calls.
Exactly. I got a story. Not a Florida man, Carl.
Uh-oh.
A Florida duck. Down in Cape Coral, which is across from Fort Myers, an aggressive duck has been terrorizing the elderly in a neighborhood. It's a federally protected Muscovy duck who's since been named Jimmy. He's chased several people with his wings spread out in attack mode and brazenly bit a resident while he was sleeping on an otherwise quiet street in Cape Coral. It is lanai. Apparently left his door open. Duck came and went, quack, and got him.
Got him.
Yeah, apparently.
By the way, that's good eating. I'm just saying.
Oh, and I love foie gras.
Oh.
Yeah. I bet you some of those guys that are all crazy about analytics would probably say it's animal cruelty. Who cares? Duck's got a brain the size of a Tic Tac. Let's eat it. Anyway, James Sepulveda was bitten by the vicious waterfowl last week. He said, I've lived in the neighborhood for 3 decades. First time a duck's ever drawn blood on my porch.
Drawn blood.
But it's a protected duck. I just got to put the name of the duck, Jimmy. Why do I picture this duck walking around like a pack of Marlboros? What are you going to do about it?
Who are you?
What are you going to do about it? I'm protected. Federally protected Muscovy duck. I'm like a duck in the witness relocation program.
You can't kill me.
It's like Henry Hill when he was running blow out there in Seattle.
You can't,
what are you going to do about it?
You can't kill me.
Federally protected. Hey, let me wrap on a really good story that's based here in Metro Atlanta that has since gotten picked up by some national stuff. I believe New York Post has this story now, but I'm reading this from a Channel 2's website. Young kid goes to Stars Mill High School, and or Mill Creek, I should say. Mill Creek up in Tequila. Sorry, I'm going to get it right. But he goes to a Mill Creek. They had their graduation a few weeks back, and the kid doesn't have time to basically party or hang out with his friends. He wasn't going to miss his shift at Burger King.
Oh, wow.
So a lady who has a kid who goes to the same school up in Tequila named Maria Mendoza, she was like, after she watched her daughter graduate, she basically all she wanted was grab a Whopper. So she goes in the drive-thru, and here's this kid basically still dressed up in his duds from graduation. And she sees the kid's young man's name is Mike Hale Baker in the drive-thru working the fry station. She noticed Baker had on his stole and said he appeared to have just graduated, but he wasn't going to miss his shift. She goes, oh, my God, look at him. He's working straight out of graduation, doing French fries and stuff. How about that for a work ethic? Everything we think has gone out the window in America today. So she starts a GoFundMe page for the young man to help him with his college setup. Initially, the goal was to raise $5,000. Now they're up to $20,000. Mike Hale Baker says he was planning on taking a gap year because he had no money for college. How great is this?
It's awesome.
So a kid putting the work in, and I know for a lot of kids, and I know you and I, we all work, most of us work fast food or bartended or bus tables or whatever, and I guess for some kids, it's beneath them today. I got some great kids I know in my neighborhood that do it. I just thought that was kind of cool, and now the kids got the loot to at least get to secondary education.
Well, look, you try to do the right things, and sometimes people look out for you.
Right. Sometimes karma and juju works out.
That's what happens. And it's a beautiful story because maybe this young man goes on and becomes something, Mike, that down the road he'll be able to thank this woman who didn't know him, right? She doesn't know him.
No. Just knows, recognize him from the graduation. Yeah, but either way, you want more, you can read about it on Channel 2's website. Reminder, guys, tomorrow, Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. Join Dukes of Bell 2 to 6.
Joe Patrick's going to join us, guys. Falcons insider. He covers the team for us. OTAs will resume next week, but we'll ask Joe about what went down this week, what he heard, what guys said, and more coming up as part of our Falcon Report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.